Anything said on Hillbilly Broadcast should be taken only as opinion. Also, the views and opinions expressed by guests of the program that we interview do not necessarily reflect the views of the hosts of Hillbilly Broadcast or its advertisers.
Please remain calm. There is no need for alarm. This space is now being taken over by Hillbilly Broadcast.
So Christy Nome is shooting dogs in the head, apparently. So go ahead, Ben. I heard this as well, and I was like, okay, of all the dumb things to put in a book as a politician, what in the heck are you thinking?
Yeah, it's not a story that accidentally leaked out. She put it in the book.
Yeah.
Like, well, sometimes you have to do things like this on the farm. Okay.
The woman literally was killing a puppy.
You know? Yeah. She's killing a dog. Well, she just killed her career.
Jeez.
Her career should have been killed by her other corruption, but the dog's going to do it.
Yeah. Yep. Well, apparently that's what people care about. I just remember this. Mitt Romney
supposedly put a dog in a crate on the roof of his car.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. I don't remember
this. That was a big scandal in 2012.
Yep. Oh, my. Is that why he didn't get the office?
Because
all the pet lovers were just all anti him.
They used that one. He talked, what was the binders full of women, Ben? I forget the.
Yeah, binders full of women. And also all the companies that he bought up and then closed down. That was a big scandal.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
He found some guy who lost his health insurance and his wife died of cancer after the business was shut down by Mitt Romney's holding company. You know, it's funny. They can follow a lead and trace down these people and make these sensational stories when they want to out somebody.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
But, you know, they didn't talk about Obama drone striking American citizens. That was perfectly fine.
Mm.
Yep.
What's the one about Trump lately? Other than paying off Stormy Daniels, what else was there?
Yeah, there's that one going on.
Hey, she recanted that story.
Did she really?
She said they never had relations.
Oh.
Really? Mm.
Wow.
There's some juicy goss.
That's interesting.
Stormy Daniels.
Melania is probably over there just like, I knew it. Why would you sleep with someone who like her instead of like Melania? Hey, like, that's stupid.
I don't claim to know why men do what they do.
That's true.
Some pretty wild stuff. Miss, we have a little bit of an announcement for this evening.
I am not pregnant.
No. No, thank God.
I just want to throw that out there.
Kane and Mariah have started getting a little more busy.
Yes.
And so they've stepped back as far as like committing to full time on this thing.
Right.
So we decided we would recruit some talent from down south.
Yeah.
And so,
oh, dear.
Texas Ben Wyford is coming on to be like, what would you call it, Ben? Part-time host, full-time host? I don't know what would we even call this?
Part-time, sometimes co-host.
Yeah.
Guest. Yeah. Yes, or whatever. Yeah. Because Kanan still is going to be here somewhat, right?
He
said he wanted to be a guest, but
he's
not going to be able to be because they do have a lot going on.
Oh, they're getting busier and busier.
Yeah. I was talking to Mariah about that, so.
Yep. And I tried doing, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it's fun to do an episode by yourself, but. Yeah. You ain't got nobody. It's good to have somebody to spitball with.
Right.
And as much as I talk to Ben, I figured, hey.
Yeah, and that's great because there's times I'm going to be busy in the ICU or taking care of our child too. And you need to be able to spar with somebody. And
exactly right.
You talked to Ben a lot. So I figured, yeah, it's a good idea.
So Ben, you're a brave man.
We got to find something to disagree on if we're going to spar.
Yeah, we do. We do.
I hear you're a big conspiracy theorist, Ben.
No, I was. Well. I was telling, I said you're. How did I put it? Somewhat a...
You said something about conspiracy, so I just kind of
Christian
threw big
conspiracy
in there.
I'm a truth seeker.
Because I was telling her about the Easter thing.
Oh, yeah. That's a podcast story. I want to hear this one.
There's better people to bring on for that topic.
That is one of those in-depth ones.
Yeah. I have a friend, too, and she listens to our podcast sometimes, that she is very anti-Easter because it goes back to Esther and all this other stuff, too. Mm-hmm. But she follows a lot of the Jewish ways. She's a Jewish Christian, is what they call it.
What's the technical term for them?
No idea.
I can't remember right now.
Messianic Jews.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
So she doesn't follow a lot of. She does Passover and stuff like that.
Okay.
They also remove some of the books of the New Testament, though, right?
That's I don't think so. She uses the King James Bible, but she's used other versions too. I'll have to ask her about that.
Ask her about the Book of James. I bet they ripped it out.
Okay.
Ask her James. What the heck she did with the Book of James.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will. Know. I will ask her.
So for those of you that have listened to us for a while, you've probably heard Ben before because she was a guest a few months back. But if they haven't been, maybe refresh them a little bit, give them a little bit to your background, the CHM, a little condensed version maybe.
I was raised in it, believed in it, started seeing some cracks in philosophy, and, you know, that was not acceptable. If I was entirely sincere when I was 15, 16 years old. If they'd had some good answers to questions that made sense, I'd have probably stayed in it and been in it, claiming entire sanctification today. But
yeah, ain't that true? Yeah.
It's just not real, and it's, man, it's ugly. And once you start to dig around, you'll find the ugly side of those kindest, warmest, best-hearted people in the world.
You'll find a knife in their hand or in your back. Yeah,
like I commented on Brian Holiness the other day, once you see the backside of that facade of those nicest, kindest, warmest hearted people.
Yes.
You get a whole new perspective.
Yeah, I can definitely go south. You were, did you go to Camp Gilead yourself, Ben?
Yes, sir. We only lived like 30, 40 minutes away from there, whatever it was. My dad was actually treasurer of Camp Gilead for quite a while. That was the main camp I went to because we were dairy farmers and didn't get very far away. And I thought I was missing out by not getting to go to Bible Holiness Camp and other camps. And looking back now, I think I was pretty lucky that I didn't have to go endure it.
Yeah. Well, I've heard about Camp Gilead from you, and I've heard from different people. Oh, yeah. And I've heard it's pretty wild. But I was so isolated, so protected because, you know, it's BMC only, BMC, BMC, that I didn't know about all these other groups. I knew about the EBM group. Evangelical Bible Missionary, which I think was part of Buston.
Yes. I was trying to think of his name. Yeah.
So Buston. It kind of went hand in hand with them. But then again, we also heard that he was a bad person because he left the BMC.
Yeah.
So I heard different sides of that, but that was like the only group I really knew of. So that's interesting. I want to hear more about Camp Gilead. We need a podcast about that.
It seems like most people that are aware of Camp Gilead, once you say something to them about Camp Gilead, they're like, oh, I get it now.
Yes.
It's one of those. It seems to be one of those.
I think it was the opposite of wild. There was nothing wild happening.
I was thinking that.
Yeah.
I
mean,
it was so unwild.
It was very serious, very much focused on having your butt in services for 3-4 times a day. Better be prayerful. I mean, it's kind of like that advertisement for a Stoneboro camp. You know, no, you're not allowed on the grounds, but if you don't meet the dress code, I mean, it said in there perfecting the saints. So apparently, that's all it's for because they're not trying to convert anybody. Because you better have your dress code figured out before you step on the grounds, because those are sacred grounds. And don't you come in here with your elbow boobs out.
Elbow boobs.
Clinton Camp was the same way. Yeah. When I look back on that, I'm like, what are you guys doing? I mean, you claim to be trying to spread the gospel, and then you're like, by the way, you can't participate. You can't hear us talk about Jesus unless you're dressed like we are.
Right. But never mind, they want your money. Like, go ahead and give your money because it's furthering a good cause.
Well,
but, you know, you're not perfect, so you can't come to the service, but definitely give your money.
You could give your money. I didn't care how you dressed.
Exactly. No. No, you want to give money, go right ahead. But you can't come to the service, nor can you volunteer in the kitchen because you've been divorced. Oh, my. Or you had short sleeves on.
I remember
some of that.
That
was another thing, too, that they were starting to put.
Clinton. Yep. Clinton was...
This is just Clinton part, though, which, you know, we know pretty well. We went there for a few years.
Now, did you ever make your way to Clinton?
No. Is that in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, yes. It's just right outside of Pittsburgh.
Okay, no. What denomination was that?
It was independent. Pretty much everybody that was anything came there. We'd have Alleghenies there, Bible Methodists.
Yvonne Dodrill's dad was the president of that.
Yes. Yeah. I had to think of him. I had to get the family tree straight.
Your coffee's not kicking in.
Yeah. Jim Sullivan. he was president. My uncle was president there for a while too.
That's true.
And I still got in trouble.
You did. Because you were the perfect example. That was what I was told at BMI. You were supposed to be setting examples. I was even told this by... She said that I ruined her daughter because one of the people we brought from the Bible school, study school kid, that we were letting them be terrible examples because we let them play with makeup. I'm not telling someone else's kids how they're supposed to live.
Yeah.
No, that's not my job.
Right. And how did you ruin her daughter? It's not, it couldn't be that her daughter made her own decisions.
Right.
You know, I've got a relation that has told someone that they're, well, that somebody, I'm not related to them. But anyways, they've said their other niece has been a bad influence on me and lead me away from God. I'm like, I don't even talk to her. How could that be? It can't be that I'm just making my own decisions, I guess.
So we were friends.
It's got to be somebody pushed me away, led me away.
Right. So we were friends with some kids from a Sunday school group. They wanted to come to church because it was, you know, we're trying to win the young people. That's what BMC does. So by bringing them, they brought their makeup. They brought their pajama pants. This is pajama pants. This is not like pants you wear out and about like for day wear. Although like some people do wear their pajamas out and about in the day. But
let's go to Walmart.
Yes.
True.
You'll see it.
True.
But so by having these girls that were in our dorm room, they were wearing their pajamas. They wore their pajamas with some makeup on their face to the bathroom where the water was, because there's no running water in these little dorm rooms. They wore their stuff to the bathroom to take their shower, wash their faces, and get ready for bed. So, but that was really bad. I let them go wash their face. That was the bad thing it boiled down to.
And that was the sin committed.
That was the sin. So I got pulled in and said, Missy, you're not setting an example for these girls that are very highly influenced. And that's when my dad was like, they're playing with makeup. Wow. And nothing happened. And that was my first moment I realized. And I'm like, okay, these people, they have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
No idea what they're talking about. Because if our parents who are super strict were like, their kids, let them play.
You'll consistently find that they major on the minor issues and they don't give much attention to the major issues.
Yes.
Nitpick these little things and then they wonder why the next generation wants nothing to do with it.
Absolutely sure. Right.
Sure.
Back to Camp Gilead, the most egregious thing that I think happens there, I'd ever realized it as much when I was a kid. But being older and having some real estate and different things, the fact that all those facilities and all those buildings, you know, there's like, what, 365 days in a year, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They get used 10 days out of the year for their camp meeting. They won't rent it out to anybody else because another group might do something they don't approve of. Now, there's no way they could afford to do it if they had to pay property taxes, which I assume 501(c) doesn't pay property taxes. Or it's maybe real low, but it's so ridiculous to have the upkeep on all those structures.
Right.
You know, and in that climate, stuff molds and deteriorates, decays fast.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of work to keep all those buildings up, keep all those grounds up, and bring people in there for 10 days out of the year to have a little, hey, look at you and look at me, and we're all great. And oh, we got to get these people saved again for the 13th time.
Yeah.
It's insane to me.
Yes.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Clinton, actually, they were okay with renting out their stuff. They did for the Mennonite group.
Clinton did. Yeah, they would rent to, I think, Wesleyan Holiness for a little while, I think.
There was like three or four different groups.
I think BBF, they're no longer in business anymore. And then they would rent to the Mennonites, which was strange because the Mennonites were like, us at Clinton Camp, we looked at them as like, bless their heart. They're trying.
But you know what? They cleaned up after themselves and they did a wonderful job. So basically they just helped. They paid and then they got slavery work to clean up after themselves. So that
I don't know all the business arrangements of it there.
Because you know how they clean stuff.
Yeah. Occasionally they would come to like one of our services.
Mm-hmm.
But we never went to theirs because...
That's where your buddy David...
I don't know if David Ryan was involved with that particular group of Mennonites that would rent the camp, but they definitely came to Clinton Camp during like the holiness services. And really the main reason why they wouldn't let us cross-contaminate that much with the Mennonites or didn't want us to, because Mennonites don't believe in second work. So that's a deal breaker.
Do they even believe in salvation?
Mennonites? I don't know. At least
the See, the only correlation between any Anabaptist and holiness or anything is dress standard. Because their belief system, Amish, I know, don't believe in salvation. They believe that they're going to try to do enough works and deny themselves enough of what their flesh desires in this life that they're going to get a ticket to heaven. I'm not sure where the Mennonites fall in there, but there's no correlation in beliefs other than the clothes that they wear.
I want to say that they do believe in salvation because we did go to see Mennonites when we were in Ghana. And I'm pretty sure that they did believe in salvation. And that was one of the reasons why they left, because they do believe it's not by works.
I see.
I'm almost willing to bet money on it.
I imagine there's probably different spectrum to them as well.
Yes.
Like David Icke is more on definitely what would be considered more on the liberal side of Mennonite, I think, especially compared to how he was brought up. And he actually, I probably should get a hold of him because he'd probably break this down for us.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah. We need to do that.
Ben, I remember one time I was at Camp Gillian, and you might have been there for the same service. There was a woman that went to the altar. The story was that she was demon possessed.
Oh, they are obsessed with demon possession.
See, I was too young to really remember all the details, but I don't know if you remember. So they did this kind of thing a lot.
Well, the groups of CHM I was around, they were very. I don't know. It goes along with the superstition. But they sure seemed like everybody was demon possessed. You know, if you had tattoos, you were for sure demon possessed. I guess we ought to talk to LaDonna about that. Well, and you.
Yeah, me too.
But it just seemed like everybody in the world to them was demon possessed. But yeah, they would have, you know, like, okay, so if somebody is demon possessed, you do think that they're showing up at Camp Gilead, you know? But yeah, they'd be like, oh, get all the kids out of the tabernacle.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to pray these demons out. And I don't remember any details on any of those. Last year I would have been there was probably 2003. So I just know that they sure thought everybody was demon possessed.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember right with this incident, because I heard about secondhand, because okay. They definitely did the whole, get your kids and hide your wife.
They're getting everybody around here.
Demons getting everybody
around here. Demons possessing everybody up in here.
So, you know, I went outside and everybody started praying. So I heard about this afterwards. I think they were up there for a long time. And they said, like, the woman was, like, trying to take her wristwatch and use it to cut her wrists, maybe.
Oh, no.
And also she kept, like, trying to jump up. And somebody was having to, like, lay on top of her to keep her down, which, looking back, was probably the woman was just trying to escape.
Yeah, she was trying to escape.
I want out of here.
Yeah.
Somebody help me.
Yeah. Good Lord, please.
She was probably feeling the demons that were brought down by other people, and she was like, well, no, wait.
Now you're hoeing a little closer to the corner.
So I don't remember
of these things that they do. Well, there's good and evil, and if it ain't coming from the good side, they're working from the evil side.
Right. So, and demons know each other. So why would they?
Right.
You mean?
But I'm talking about the saved and sanctified crowd that might be bringing the demons with them.
That's just a thought.
Yep. That's true. Anyways, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm off chewing out.
Might be a reason they're so intrigued by them. Talk about them all the time.
Jeez. That's like basically all I remember is that I think they said that the woman was, you know, allegedly freed from the demon, all that. I don't even remember who it was. I have no idea. They said that they had supposedly tried before, or she had tried before, but she'd go to the altar and then she would fall asleep. And apparently, I didn't know this, but apparently demons can't be cast out while you're asleep. I have no idea.
They can't. Are they sure she fell asleep or did she get passed out? Like, you know how the Bible says, like, that they gave up the ghost and they were...
I don't know. I don't know. And again, my memory's pretty vague on the whole ordeal.
My money's on she just got undiagnosed mental health issues. You can't go to any counseling or therapist. You know, you just go talk to the preacher.
Yeah.
You'll get it fixed.
Yeah.
Mm. Even if he's 22 years old and fresh out of Bible college, that's who you got to go talk to. Yep. He's got no life experience, but he's going to lead you right.
Never mind. I was going to say something and I'm not even going to say it. All right. So my experience, yeah, it was bad. You did not want to know what I was going to say. So my experience with someone who was demon possessed was at California, Arizona, Nevada camp.
Okay.
And there was this woman. I'm pretty sure that she came from, I wanted to say it was a California church, some one of those there. And she dressed in some of the weirdest rags. And I say rags. It looked like patchwork clothes. Does that make sense?
Patchwork, like
different fabric.
Just crap just sewn together?
Yeah. A very kind raggedy. Random. Yes. It looked, so imagine like a prairie skirt style from the Oregon Trail, but it was like rags. So we had patchworks that was sewn into it. She had this really baggy long sleeve shirt. She had gray stringy hair. She had blue eyes. She was wild in the face. I remember looking at her because they were all saying that there was something wrong with her. Well, she went down to the altar to pray and get saved. It was during a while that all this stuff happened. I guess she started to have a seizure / demon possessed activity.
Okay.
That they told us that are all under 18 years old and not sanctified, saved, but not sanctified, that we had to leave.
So if you didn't have the
second work, sanctified, if you're sanctified, you were protected. But if you had the blood of Jesus, which again, like it belittled the blood of Jesus in my eyes. I was like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I am protected. Like I am totally protected by the blood of Jesus. So I'm good. But if you're under 18, which was very interesting to me too.
Well, the day you turn 18, you can no longer accept a demon into yourself.
Oh.
It's right in the rule book.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't read the rule book.
Very simple math.
Nope.
I mean, you're susceptible up till you're 17 years, 364 days old. But
right.
That calendar turns, you are immune, even if you're unsafe, you know?
Right,
I mean,
right.
But that's just, that's where the whole second work thing is so disgusting that it really does diminish the salvation aspect of being born again.
Mm-hmm.
And
obviously, entire sanctification is a total bogus claim.
I think
I said it last time I was on, I didn't believe in sanctification. Well, I think I should probably rephrase that to where there is a gradual, continual, there's another word for it, but, you know, progressive sanctification.
Yeah.
But there's no entire sanctification. There is no rip the sin root out. You're never tempted again. Like, obviously, all these people are tempted to sin. You know, there's only one legal sin, and most of them overindulge in it, and they can't hide it.
Okay.
And everything else is prohibited, is off limits. So because of their lack of fulfillment, they overindulge in the one legal sin.
Yeah, ain't that weird that they would honestly think that, I don't know, like, they'd say like with
it removes the whole human aspect.
Yeah.
Like, right. Your flesh is no longer your flesh. And your flesh is always going to be tempted. Your flesh will never be sanctified. That's why the fleshly body does not go to heaven. That's why it's so ridiculous that we bury people facing the east, you know, so this magical rapture that's not even in the Bible, you'll pop up and be facing the right direction when you go floating up to glory. But the spirit is the only thing that can be sanctified. The flesh will never be sanctified.
Don't you realize, though, like, we have to help Jesus out because, you know, he'll know all the people that are facing east are the ones that are definitely going to heaven, you know? Oh, but speaking of, what did you think about that baptism thing? I wanted to reference that real quick, Ben. So there was this boy, he had a little... What's the monitors they wear on their ankles?
Oh, the ankle.
Yeah,
let's bracelet. Talk about that real quick. I want my dad's story on this. So I was talking to Ben, and Ben was like, "Are you mocking this?" And I was like, "Okay, hold on. My dad had to be baptized twice because his leg came up."
And they were worried. You get the full immersion.
Yes,
in there.
He had to be completely immersed, like put under, because you don't go to heaven if you're completely under. Yeah. So he went to heaven without that leg. Or he didn't go at all. It's one of the two. Like,
ain't none of our legs making it to heaven. I mean.
No, yeah. Absolutely.
I thought that video was cool because, you know, the team effort, you know, I'm assuming the guy's been in some trouble. He's got an ankle bracelet on.
Right.
And he's getting baptized. You know, I know everybody in jail finds Jesus, but, or Muhammad nowadays, it seems. That seems to be the growing religion in jail. But no, I thought it was cool. And then, you know, I just took the plunge last Monday night. So it was about the same time. And I was like, yes! What the heck? Why are you mocking this?
That's awesome.
I seen the video that you sent me. And I really liked it because it was a stock tank at a church here in Texas, right?
That's awesome. That's what I'm
talking about. Got baptized by two old cowboys in a cow tank.
Heck yeah. Aww,
that's lovely.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, congratulations, man. That's cool. So you, I think you mentioned to me in a private conversation something about how what you didn't quite know the significance of it, or how did you put that?
Well, I always saw it as just another ritual. You know, I saw dozens of people get baptized in Baptist churches I attended and stuff. And then you had to be a member, and I'm not interested in being a member of any organization.
Same here.
I am not. The denominational structure and organization is not for me. If it's for somebody else, good for you, but I ain't joining up with any denomination because I don't see any of them that's really fulfilling, living like the early church did for 300 years after Jesus' time here on earth. And so, anyways, I mean, reading for myself, when you see that Jesus went and got baptized by John, and well, the significance of that, and then the Ethiopian eunuch was riding along and reading the Old Testament, didn't understand it. Philip asked him, hey, you understand? No, nobody can understand it. And so he explained it to him, and then, hey, well, there's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? So but it seems like it's a step of obedience. It doesn't save you. It doesn't wash your sins away. I mean, some people put too much significance on that.
Yeah, but, I agree.
I just felt like I should do it, so I did it.
Yeah, right. That's cool, man.
That's awesome.
That's cool. I like with the CHM been coming up that way, it seemed like they didn't put enough emphasis on that and communion.
Oh, for sure.
Like it was just one of those things. Baptism was like, we'll have like a special all-day meeting or something in the fall and we'll baptize everybody then.
Yeah.
Yeah, go down the river once every 3 years.
Yeah, yeah, and sometimes it was multiple years in between baptizings. And a lot of that, too, was because the church hadn't grown, but that's a different story.
You're just rebaptizing the same people over and over again.
Yeah, sometimes that was the case.
Aw.
And then also, like with communion, communion was like maybe around Easter, if that.
Pastor Howard and Benita, they have communion like so often. I feel like I've had more communion since I've been going to church there than I have in all my CHM life.
Yeah.
I am not even kidding.
Yeah, I think it shouldn't become just, trivial. But, you're hitting on communion, you get to another one of the false things that CHM does to where they make it such a big deal. And if you're not entirely perfect in your condition, you are.
Oh, yeah.
You are sealing your fate. You are damned to hell for eternity communion and you're not everything perfect. So I think that's part of why they stretched it out in between. And then they just make it, again, this big idolized ritual when you do it. No, it's such a grave matter to.
Yeah, they used to have me scared to death. To
yes. Community. Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't want anything to do with it. Oh. No, I'm good. Yeah, I might have to get sanctified again next Sunday night.
Yes. See, that's the thing, too. Okay, they would always make it be like, you're never going to be perfect. You are just like, this, that, and another. And I'm thinking, so when am I supposed to take communion then? Because I could be drinking and eating damnation to my own soul without even meaning
so
it.
So why would I do it?
Why would I do it?
Why take the risk?
Yeah. Why take the risk? Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a... Whew. That scared me so bad. That scared me more than going to hell did. That scared me more than like the rapture happening. Like, and I missed it. Like that part was the scariest, I think, in all of my CHM life.
That thing that they put on, that requirement or that expectation of perfection that they put on people of living without sin.
Yes.
That does so much damage because that is impossible.
It is.
You're supposed to, I believe we're supposed to try for it, but it's also, you're not going to attain it.
Right.
But like with them, it was everything.
And just read what Paul wrote. I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And then too, like the idea that you are able to earn and keep up and do with all the things like, that they're totally anti-Bible. Totally anti-Bible because we
cannot. Salvation by works.
Yes.
They will deny it to the ends of the earth, but it is salvation by works. They do not believe and being saved by grace through faith. They do not. It is their works that get them to heaven.
Yes. Yep. And like even to the point that the man on the cross beside Jesus, he was like, you know, he didn't do anything, but he was still forgiven.
There are people that say you have to be baptized to get to heaven. Well, that shoots that theory in the foot.
It does. Yeah, believe, exactly. Yeah. And I've also heard too that he actually did do a work because he was witnessing to those around him. And I'm like, okay now guys, we're grasping here. Come on.
Yeah. That's speaking of them grasping real quick. I know we're running up on time, but, you know, the CHM would grasp at things to make comparisons, examples to prove their point. A friend of mine was just at a CHM service the other night and was telling me that the preacher preached out of the passage where it talks about, was it Jacob that wrestled with the angel?
Yes.
And was literally saying that that was Jacob wrestling for the second work.
Oh, I've heard that. I've heard that. What are you talking about? That's not what it means. Like, I grew up with that. That's what we're talking about. He is getting the blessing.
Yes, the blessing. Yes, that's what it was. That it talks about the blessing. That was the second work.
Yes. Oh, for sure. You've not heard this before?
I probably had, but he just refreshed my mind and gave me a good little laugh. Absolutely. Never mind that, like, the second work, according to the CHM, is like comes through the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
Well, this was Old Testament, so, and Jesus didn't say that he was going to send the Holy Spirit to in the New Testament, right?
Right.
So then how was I, but then again, once again, we're trying to insert logic where there is none to be found.
And that's why the whole thing with the house of the Lord is so false, because, you know, the Spirit was sent to live with in us. Before that, the Spirit of God resided, you know, with the Ark of the Covenant and then in the temple and the Holy of Holies. But that was released and that veil was ripped when Jesus died on the cross.
Yes.
And that, you know, if you go to a church and they say, "Welcome to the house of the Lord," you should either stand up and ask them about, you know, the Most High does not live in buildings built by human hands,
mm-hmm.
or you should just walk out and never go back. Because, you know, family members shared the other day, the psalm, I was glad when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Okay, well, whatever that was then, that was the Old Testament. There is no house of the Lord. We are the temple in the New Testament era, at least.
Yeah, and I believe it.
We are the living stones. That's why this whole thing with, you know, Christianity is so hamstrung by their obsession with prophecy and end times and rapture.
Yes.
You know, this temple is going to be rebuilt. That temple's never going to be rebuilt. It was destroyed. And it was, you know, when you get to looking into that, the statistics of how big it was, when that actual yard and everything of it was like a mile in diameter. It was huge, totally covered in gold. I mean, it was, you get out in the desert and you got this massive building that like 10,000 people were working on it at a time for 8-10 years to build it. And it's totally covered in gold, and it shines, you know, from way away, the sun shining off of it. And, you know, that was the house of the Lord. But then that's why it was so ridiculous and crazy when Jesus said, not one stone will be left unturned.
Right.
Well, when it burned down in 70 AD, all the gold melted in between the rocks. And so all the Roman soldiers were prying apart rock by rock to get that gold. And that's it, and that temple is gone. There will not be another temple built there, and it's false predictions and prophecies about that. And right now they're trying to come up with the perfect red heifer. They exported 7 from Texas, and they've been watching them for 2 or 3 years.
Gosh.
They're getting ready to sacrifice them, and it's all just the rituals and denial of Jesus, what it is.
Yes.
And wherever the remnant of Jews is that are going to be saved, I have no idea. I bet they don't live in the nation of Israel, but wherever they are, somewhere from the lineage of Abraham, they're going to turn up. But there's not going to be a temple rebuilt. They're trying to force their Messiah to come for the first time by this, the red heifer sacrifice and all that. And so, but how many American Christians are wrapped up in that and are just so excited? Well, imagine if they would put that much effort into going and helping somebody out or doing something good in their community rather than this obsession with end times. Like, you know, absolutely. I think when you get to a point, you should have some peace and not be so worried about what's coming and where the next thing is, and just take it a day at a time. But these people, obviously, they don't trust that God can save them on their own. So they also believe that they can't trust the future to him.
Right. Like, even my son, like our son's therapist, the developmental therapist, she said her mom was warning her about the eclipse stuff that's going to happen.
Oh, boy, and the eclipse.
So the eclipse happened, and then the heifers got sent from Texas.
Now,
and
never
all this
mind.
Stuff.
I've been and hearing
I'm like,
this.
What?
I've been hearing stuff about the red heifer since I was a kid.
Right.
Like, it had supposedly been born back then. Like, these rumors.
Well,
that heifer is ancient then. Oh, my goodness.
Well, no, because they end up getting a white hair somewhere, and they'll usually be like their navel or their around their mammary glands, somewhere in there, there'll be white hair on them. So they need a perfect red heifer with no blemishes and no white hairs anywhere. And they're trying. I mean, they're trying their best. They're doing cloning and embryo work and everything to try to make this heifer.
Jeez. Well, and as a resource for people, if they want to find out a little more about the, you know, this kind of stuff that we're talking about, as far as understanding the different options that there are when it comes to end time theory and all that, I would recommend R.C. Sproul and there's a series, I think, on YouTube. If you just do a YouTube search for R.C. Sproul and eschatology, he does a much better job at explaining this kind of stuff, going in depth and making a really good case as to why most of what we grew up with, as far as Sheldon Stevens preaching these end time stuff, or Noel Scott's wife, he does a good job of kind of portraying why that is all baloney.
Well, and here's the bottom line too. A true prophet will be correct 100% of the time.
I would expect.
A true prophet will be. So these people discredit themselves, but then we still end up listening to them. You know, it's just like, you talked about John Lindell and Mark Driscoll and the male stripper and sword swallower. Well, why did John Lindell bring either one of those guys in?
Yeah.
Because Mark Driscoll has been proven to say a lot of good things that, you know, sound good, but his actions are horrific. Yes. Why would you bring the male stripper or Mark Driscoll in? That shows a little bit of lack of discernment on both accounts.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So many thoughts about that.
But we had planned to go into some of that.
I think we need to save that for next time, because there's a lot of information I want to go over.
Ben, we had plans here tonight, man, but we just got to BSing, and next thing you know, we done filled the time. I like it, though.
Yes.
I like it. I'm looking forward to seeing Ben more on some of these episodes, and I enjoyed it, sir. You do a good job, as always, and I look forward to doing another one here probably in about a week or so.
Sounds good. Pleasure.
I'm good. Our dinner's ready. And your son's in there playing with poker chips and gambling cards.
That's my boy.
Yes, it is. It's our child.
All right. We'll see y'all later. Anything said on Hillbilly Broadcast should be taken only as opinion. Also, the views and opinions expressed by guests of the program that we interview do not necessarily reflect the views of the hosts of Hillbilly Broadcast or its advertisers.